Amen. Okay, let me take our Bibles here, if you would. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Looking at the word call here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
My Father in heaven, we thank you again for allowing us to gather together and to hear and preach you from your word. Lord, I pray that you give Pastor wisdom and the power and the grace that he needs to deliver what's on his heart from your word. Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, that you are so faithful to continue to teach us, Lord.
Amen.
I pray you forgive us, Lord, when there's been time when we have not been good listeners.
Yes.
Tonight we would
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I was noticing as I was reading through my Bible just how many times the word call appears here. In verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle. And then in verse 2, the church of God, which is at Corinth, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. The word call is used 190 times in the Bible, 190. The word called, past tense, is used 599. So the word call used 190 times, the word called, past tense, used 599. So the word call in the past tense is used over three times more than it's used in the present tense. I thought that was interesting. It's referring to something done in the past, and I just thought that was very interesting. It made me think of all the calling that God has done in the past, and people have not listened. Should I answer it?
Call from God.
Should I answer it? I waited too long, didn't I? Uh-oh. Oh, somebody's talking. Okay. There. Okay. How many times does that happen, though, that we hear God's call? Phones. Okay. So, in the Bible, the word call is used in the past tense over three times more than it's used in the present tense. And it made me think about how many times God has called and no one answers. Let's look at Isaiah 65 and verse 12. Isaiah 65 and verse 12. Isaiah 65:12. The Bible says, "Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I what? When I called, ye what? Did not answer. When I spake, ye what? Did not hear. But did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Look in chapter 66, Isaiah 66, 4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I, what?
Called,
what happened?
None
did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Same response. In Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 13. Jeremiah 7, 13. And both of these prophets were looking ahead to the Babylonian captivity, to the one we were talking about this morning, Nebuchadnezzar. In Jeremiah 7, 13. And now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I what?
Called
you, but ye answered not. Look in chapter 35, Jeremiah 35, 17. Jeremiah 35, 17. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have what?
Called
unto them, but they have not answered. So these are some examples of that past tense, how, where God is called. And it's interesting that the Bible should use call in the past tense over three times more than in the present tense. And it made me think of all the calling that God has done. And people don't listen. Maybe that's why God has given us such an unusual request, is in Luke 10, 2. Have you ever thought about this verse? What an unusual request this is. Luke chapter 10, and excuse me, verse 2. Luke 10, 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So what does he say? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into what? His harvest. Why does he have us pray to him and ask him to send forth laborers into his harvest? Have you ever thought about that verse? It's kind of an unusual request where God is asking us to pray to him, to ask him to send more laborers. It's kind of an unusual. Why would God do that? I think maybe it's because he has to use the word called in the past tense so much because people don't listen. And when he gets us to pray about something, it gets us thinking about that. So he's calling and people are not listening. And so he asks us to pray that people would listen. Well, it's really hard to pray something that we are not willing to do, isn't it? It's hypocrisy. If we pray for something we are not willing to do, it's hypocrisy. And so then it gets us thinking about it. Well, if he's asking me to pray to him that he would send forth laborers into the harvest, and if people are not listening, maybe I should apply for the job. Maybe I should be like Isaiah. Hear my Lord, send me. When I was young in the ministry, a man came up to me, and I don't remember where I was. It may have been at a funeral. I don't know. But an older man came up to me, and he said, when I was young, God called me into the ministry, and I didn't go. And now he was old, and he was regretting it so much. And it just makes me think, once again, the Bible uses the word called in the past tense three times as much as in the present tense. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1. Paul was called to be an apostle. Verse 1 says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. The word apostle means sent one. Well, where has God sent us? He may send us across the world. He may send us just to the store to reach someone. Someone there. When Paul responded to the Lord for salvation, He then also responded to the call for service. And what's interesting is that once Paul responded to the call for service, he realized that God had called him right from the womb all along, but he didn't listen. Notice in Galatians 1, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. Galatians 1, 11. The Bible says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from what? My mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So verse 15 says, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." But Paul did not respond until he was an adult. So he realizes that, you know what, God was calling all along, but I was not listening. This morning we ran out of time to finish the message, but the last part of it was about Paul, and I was going to just bring out the fact that Paul made some very serious and grievous mistakes. And, you know, people remember us oftentimes for our mistakes, unless there's something that's more fresh, some memories that are more fresh that would erase those things. It's kind of like a computer getting full and then running over the same hard drive and putting new information on there. Notice in Acts chapter 9, there's probably a lot of people who are praying for Paul, or at this time, his name was Saul, his death. It's like, "Lord, please consume this guy. Please wipe him off the face of the earth. He is being so mean to Christians." Acts 9:1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and what? Slaughter." So, I mean, it was not just punishing them. It was killing them, if he could, against the disciples of the Lord. He went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were what? Men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I mean, Saul was ruthless. It wasn't just Christian men he was after. Even Christian women, he had no mercy at all. So how did Paul ever overcome such a bad reputation? How can we ever overcome some of the foolish mistakes that we make? How can we ever go on and live beyond those mistakes? What can we do? Well, let's see what Paul did. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. You know, very rarely do people remember Paul by his persecution and slaughter of Christians. No, they call Paul, I've heard a lot of people call Paul, probably the greatest missionary that ever lived, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came farther than anyone with the gospel and gave his life for our sins. In 1 Timothy 1:13, Paul, speaking of himself, he says, "Who was before what? A blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious." So he didn't just persecute by words. He persecuted by injuring people. "But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom," what? "I am chief." So what did Paul ever do to overcome his wretchedness? Well, He admitted his sin. He didn't try to hide it. He said, he just listed it out there in those verses. He said, I am chief. I am the chief amongst sinners. You will not find any greater sinner anywhere than me. I am the chief among sinners. But then he went on. And so I am proof that God is willing to save the most vile, the most wretched sinner, because I'm the chief of sinners and he saved me. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He was the crowning example. So Paul was very clear. If you hear someone say, Paul is the worst sinner that ever lived, don't argue with them about that statement. Don't say, quit slandering Paul. No, he said in verse 15, this is a what? It's a faithful saying. Don't try to get them to take the words back because they're true. I am a vile, wretched sinner. I'm the chief amongst sinners. It's a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to defend me because I am the chief of sinners. Then he goes on that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So the way that Paul overcame that memory was by admitting that he was all of that and worse as a sinner. And then he goes on to explain, you'll never find a greater sinner than I, but that's just proof of God's love, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So see how he turned that around? He was humble and yet could boldly proclaim the gospel while being as humble as you could be. Yes, it's true. I am a rotten, vile sinner. I am a wretched sinner. I'm the chiefest among sinners. That's a true saying. But it just goes to show you the grace of God that he would save a wretch like me. And so he'll save you as well. So he turned that around. And you know what? So because he didn't try to defend himself, because he acknowledged that he was that vile and wretched, go with me, please, to Galatians chapter 1. Do you know what that did? By humbling himself, God lifted him up. That's what it did. Galatians 1 in verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now what? Preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. So they bring up the past memory, and then they bring up the more recent memory about, you know what? He persecuted us in times past, but now he preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And what was the end result? Verse 24. And they what? They glorified God in me. So what should we do with our faults and failures? Admit them. And say, you know what? Those are my faults and failures, and I have more that are worse than that. I am the chiefest among sinners. But you know what it just proves? It proves the grace of God, that he can save the vilest of sinners. So the key is, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. And that's the way to overcome our faults and failures, is I admit it. You're not slandering me. You're speaking the truth. I am a vile, wretched sinner. And it just proves that God could save you too. And so that's how they remembered him. And the reason I was going to bring that up in the message this morning is because of verse 24. Remember what we were talking about? You want someone to have purpose in life. It's to glorify God. If we are to have meaning in our lives, we need to glorify God. How can we do that? Verse 23, admit that we have sinned. And then instead of using our zeal to follow sin, use our zeal to follow God with all of our hearts. In verse 24, they glorified God in me, Paul said. What a change. So that's how we overcome. We don't try to hide it. We don't try to sweep it under the rug. We just admit it, that we're that and worse. So back in 1 Corinthians 1, it's like the song we sang this morning, a flag to follow. And I think sometimes we try to allure the world to follow Christ by all the same enticements that they use out there. That doesn't work. We need to draw them to Christ by showing that it's a worthy life, even if, like Moses, it's suffering affliction. That's what attracted him. It was something real. 1 Corinthians 1, then in verse 2. So the first one there, Paul was called to be an apostle. How did he ever overcome that? How do you ever be a preacher when you've lived such a vile life? Admit your sin. Humble yourself. And then use your zeal for God. But number two, the Corinthians were called to be saints. Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. The word saint means sacred, holy, consecrated. So they were called to be saints. That was their position. But practically speaking, they weren't too good at it. Look at chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. Well, wait a minute. I thought you just said they were called to be saints. Called to be sacred, called to be holy, called to be consecrated. When you think of a saint, don't you think of someone mature in the faith? But he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. That's that normally who we think of. When we think of the word saint, we normally don't think of a babe in Christ. But that's what these people were. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither what? Yet now are you able. So they had been called to be saints. What I'm trying to get across to you is that's past tense again, in chapter 1, verse 2. Called to be saints, that was past tense, but positionally, they were saved. They were set apart positionally, but practically speaking, they didn't respond too well to that call to be saints, to be sacred, holy, consecrated. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What would have happened tonight if Brother Steve came in the church and Brother Jim came into the church and they both put their Bibles up on the coat rack and they both have black Bibles and maybe they're both from the same publisher. And so one of them grabs a Bible up there and the other one says, that's my Bible, give it to me. Can you picture Brother Jim and Brother Steve wrestling over a Bible? Give it to me, it's mine. No, it's mine. Give it to me, it's mine. I mean, you'd say, what is happening here? These are two grown, mature men. Now, you could see that maybe if little children were doing that. No, it's my Bible. No, it's my Bible. No, it's my Bible. But the Corinthians, verse 3, you're yet carnal for... whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We're not to walk as men. Yes, we're people on this earth, but we're to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, aren't we? We're not to walk as men, but they were walking as men. That's what he said. Are you not carnal and walk as men? They were called to be saints, but they didn't respond so well. And the whole book of 1 Corinthians, it starts out mild, but then it deals with problem after problem after problem after problem. They weren't too good. They were called, past tense, but they were not walking according to their calling too well. And then back in 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 2, once again, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, what? Call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. This is something that needs to be in the present tense, because when people wait to respond to this call for salvation and don't call upon the Lord, well, oftentimes it's too late. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, what? Now is the accepted time. Behold, what? Now is the day of salvation. So we don't see in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, this in the past tense, because that's dangerous ground, isn't it? When we don't accept the call. D.L. Moody was a preacher in Chicago. He preached around the world, but one time he was preaching in his church in Chicago, and I think it was a Sunday night. He decided that night not to give an invitation. He just told the people that night, I want you to go home and think about this message. Go home and think about it. Well, it must have been about salvation, but he said, go home and think about it. And I think even before then he was finished talking, the sirens began to sound in Chicago. That night was the start of the Great Chicago Fire. And many people died, and a lot of Chicago burned that night. And after that time, he said, never again will I tell people to delay and, well, just think about it. Never again. That's too dangerous when it comes to salvation. Notice in Jeremiah 8:20. The Bible says the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are what? Not saved. That's the problem with past tense. Then it becomes too late. Notice in Acts 26 and verse 27. The Bible says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Isn't that like us sometimes talking to people? We so much want to say, I know you believe. Come on. Tell me. I know you believe. We want to put the words in their mouths. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, what? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. A song ended up being written about that, almost, but lost. And so may the Lord help us. This word, call, may we respond. Paul was called to be an apostle. He was a sent one. And we are all sent ones, maybe not to a foreign field, and yet maybe to a foreign field. As we saw, we are to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. And we can't honestly pray that unless, as Isaiah, we say, Lord, Here am I. I'm willing to go. If you want me to go, I'll go. Please show me from your word, and I'll go, Lord, if that's what you want. So the point is we need to be willing to be sent of the Lord anywhere, whether it's to Cameroon or Haiti or Greenland or Zambia, Honduras, Brazil, wherever, or whether to the store. Maybe there's someone there. My wife and I was there the last day or two, and the young man checking us out was in college. And so I asked him if he'd ever studied this, and I gave him a gospel tract. It might be that God has sent us to the store to reach a certain person, or sent us in a certain direction because somewhere along the way, someone, we're going to cross paths and they need the Lord. The Corinthians were called to be saints. And tonight, all of us here who are saved, positionally, we are saints. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is our position in Christ. But how are we walking? How are we doing that? Is it practical in our lives? Or are we more like the Corinthians? Are we pretty carnal? And then as we think about this need that people need to call in the present upon the Lord. Now, we don't want to put words in people's mouths. I mean, Paul, that was about the closest Paul ever did that, right there with Agrippa. But it didn't work, did it? We can't put the words in their mouths because it has to come from their heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. It's got to be from the heart. But may God help us this week. The call is important. We need to respond to it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. We do want to glorify you. And I pray this week it would be practical, not just something of a positional nature, but something that people can see and hear. I pray that we would glorify you. We thank you for the encouragement in the life of the Apostle Paul. He had made some very serious mistakes where people were hurt and killed. And yet he was able to overcome even those huge things by admitting his sin, admitting that he was indeed the chief of sinners. And Father, we stand in the same shoes. We are the chief of sinners. We admit it. We confess it. Lord, may we never try to justify our faults and failures. May we admit them, and then may we just go on then to say, it just proves the grace of God, how he'll save anyone who will come in childlike humility. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight that are not saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose in victory, proving that his pure and righteous blood was enough to wash away all of our vile sins. May we not try to justify one of our vile sins, but glorify you, that you are willing to save us. Please take and use us. We ask in Jesus' name.